Should you still consider buying rental property? Whether you're at the beginning of your property journey, looking to enter the market, or a seasoned professional seeking new strategies and insights, this podcast is your one-stop resource for all things property investment. Welcome to the Property Investors Network podcast. Let's embark on this exciting journey together and make your property investment dreams a reality. Hello, my name is Mark Fitzgerald. It's great to have you joining me here today. So a question that we get asked all of the time is, should you still consider buying rental property in the current market? Listen, interest rates are going up or going through the roof. In fact, they've leveled off a bit at the moment, but interest rates are higher than they have been for a long, long, long time. You know, we're looking at 14, 15 odd years. Utilities, whilst they've come down a bit, are still quite high. Is it still a great time to be becoming a landlord? Listen, if you look at the national press, no, it's not. No, it's not. But then if you looked at the national press for the last 15 years, it's never been a good time to become a landlord. Why? Because they are full of doom and gloom. Yet, so many people out there, so many property investors out there are doing a superb job, never getting the acclaim that they need to get unless they're inside the inner circles. We can see the people that are out there that are doing a really, really good job. Yes, there are a few that aren't doing such a good job, unfortunately, aren't doing things in the right manner. But people are people, and we cannot control everything. All we can do is make sure that we operate and we do our property investing as best we can. We do things in the right manner. We make sure we're compliant with everything, and we run a successful and profitable property business. So should we be buying rental properties right now? Well, I would say it depends on your strategy. I've touched on this in other episodes, okay? Buy to let is very, very difficult at the moment. There are some areas in the UK, and that's what I'm talking about here today, is the UK, but there are some areas in the UK where you can still get buy to lets, single lets. That's where you let a property to a family or a couple, or, you know, just a family basically at the end of the day, or one person on their own. Still works, okay? It still stacks up to be able to do so. But those areas at the moment are becoming few and far between, and it really does depend on the price you can get the property for, okay? So people are saying to me, I can't get buy-to-lets to work or stack up with the numbers anymore. Why is that? Well, the fundamentals there are that, yes, rental prices have gone up and always seem to be going up at the moment, but so have house prices. But house prices are going up so, so fast that whilst the rental prices are going up, they're not as in line as they were with house prices. So if you think about it, 10 years ago, you could buy a property for, let's just say for argument's sake, £200,000. You could buy a property for £200,000 and the rent that you'd get from it stacked up. The numbers stacked, the price of the property, what you were going to be shelling out on your mortgage, on your utilities, or if you didn't have utilities, on your mortgage and your insurances and stuff, it stacked. It left a good few hundred pounds profit for you. Okay, now you think about it, that house is probably worth £400,000 and the rental price, whilst has gone up, it might have even doubled. £400,000 is a hell of a lot more than it was when you could have bought it 10 years ago. And this is where, when you're getting mortgages and you're trying to make sure that your rental demand or rental prices is in line with your mortgage rates, people are struggling. And that's been really, really the knock-on effect of interest rates going up. So it is difficult to get buy-to-lets to stack. It is difficult to get them to work, okay? If you can buy a property at a reduced price, maybe add value to the property, then you should be onto a winner. But of course, there are some fantastic strategies that you should be looking at as well and seeing if they are in line with what you want to do. Now, those strategies are converting potential properties into HMOs, houses of multiple occupation. This is where you let the property out on a room by room basis. Now, what I would say on that is the standard of HMOs has come a long way in relatively short space of time, if you like. Over the last 10 years, I would say, you know, that it didn't really move a massive amount. I'd say the last 5 years, HMOs, it's moved a long way. And you do not want to be left behind. So if you want to get into having maybe a decent-sized portfolio of HMOs, then you want to be having those at a very, very good standard, a high standard, if nothing else. Okay. Now, why does HMOs work so well? Well, because you're not just letting the property to one person or one family. So you're not just receiving one bit of rent. You know what I mean? One rental income. If you have a property and potentially you've made it into five rooms, and people then share maybe a communal bathroom, or maybe they've got their own bathrooms, but they share the kitchen, maybe a living room as well. You've got five rents coming in. Now, not all of those rents individually will be the same as somebody maybe renting the whole property from you, but five overall will be worth more than just a family renting that property. And that is why a lot of people do HMOs, do them to a good high standard. And in some cases, when you do the HMOs or you make them into a very high standard, you can earn double, triple, quadruple the amount that you would earn on that property as a buy-to-let, okay, or as a single let. The next strategy, of course, is short-term rentals. Serviced accommodation, that is where you see the properties on Airbnb, Booking.com, things like that. And those are where people are fundamentally holiday lets, where people want to come and stay for a couple of nights or a week, a month. They can stay for 3 or 4 months, 6 months and stuff like that. But predominantly, it is not the person's residence, okay? Short-term rentals are where the person actually lives somewhere else, but they come and they use that property. A bit like a hotel, okay? So you come and you stay in the hotel, but you should have a residence somewhere else as well. Now, some people do live in hotels and all of that, but let's not muddy the water here. We're doing short-term rentals, so it's not that person's main residence. Again, you can earn a lot through that. You can use different clients, so you can let holidaymakers, families, corporate lets, where you let it to companies that are working or staying in the area. There's all sorts of different ways that you can do things. You just can be as creative as you like. You've just got to look at your area and know what you're doing. But of course, you can still buy rental properties to do this with. If you buy a property to make it into an HMO, then the numbers, the mortgage, everything will be a lot easier for it to pass the checks that it's going to go through. And of course, now mortgage companies are out there and they will provide you with a short-term rental mortgage. Yes, people moan all the time. It's more than a buy-to-let mortgage. Yes, that's because mortgage companies appreciate the fact that you're going to make more money as long as you do it in the correct manner. So yes, it will be more expensive to do so, but you should be making more money, so it shouldn't make a blind bit of difference at the end of the day. So there's a few things that whatever you do property-wise that you want to be checking, because sometimes people sell properties. Why? Because they can't let them. Maybe they're in the wrong area. Maybe there's an underlying issue with the property that nobody knows about. So it's very, very important that you know what you're looking for, that you know how to do your due diligence on any of the property deals that you are looking at. And some of the things that you really want to focus on and make sure that you're looking at is rental demand in the area. So if you are going to be letting the property, whether it's a single let, because it stacks and it works, it's an HMO, you need to make sure that there is good rental demand. Go out there, network with people, speak to letting agents, speak to other landlords out there and see what it's all about. Walk around the areas yourself, get a feel for them. What type of person, what type of tenant are you going to have in that area? Who's it going to attract? No point in having the nicest property in the street, trying to attract, you know, a very high class clientele, and it's just in an area that nobody even wants to walk down at night. But you didn't know why, because you never actually walked down that street yourself at night. You need to make sure that you do your due diligence. Is it in an area with good transport links? Not has it just got a bus stop at the end of the road? Has it got a bus stop? Is it near potentially a train station? Is there shops in the vicinities, restaurants, takeaways? Is there a bit of life around there? If you're doing HMOs, a lot of people want everything at their fingertips. They want everything in reach. They don't always drive, okay? So it's very good for them to be able to have a bus stop that is very close, or a train station, or there's shops in the vicinity, or there's potentially work in the vicinity as well, so they can walk around, they can keep their costs down. That's why a lot of people live in HMOs, is to try and keep it as cost effective for themselves as possible, okay? You can also then think about the area itself. Is there going to be capital growth? Now, we cannot guarantee capital growth on any properties that we buy and purchase. But fundamentally, if you look at the history books, capital growth is something that happens, whether we like it or not. It always keeps going up. Okay, now we do have drops in the market. But listen, you only lose money in a falling market if you have to sell. If your rental demand is good, then you do not have to worry about it. You can see out the bad times by continually letting the property, making the cash flow each and every month. And then, of course, you can look to sell the property while it's break even, or sit back, relax, and let the capital growth do its thing. And of course, look at your areas as well. Is there going to be decent letting agents if you don't want to manage the property yourself? No point in getting a property, getting it done really, really nice, only to find that there's pretty shoddy letting agencies, or no real letting agencies in the area. That goes the same with serviced accommodation, of course, is to know your market type. So in the area, what sort of people do you want staying in the property? If you don't want to manage it, is there a managing company in the area that do serviced accommodation? Are they any good? Start reaching out, start talking to people. And all it is conversations. If people do not want to talk to you, i.e. letting agents or short-term rental agents or anybody like that in the area, will not start talking to you to let you know a little bit about themselves, a little bit about what they think the area is all about, then I wouldn't even do business with them. What's the point? What's the point? And I'll tell you what, there's normally those types of people that don't want to give you the time of day, that when you actually work with them, still don't want to give you the time of day. So you end up with your property getting run down, you get disheartened, and that's where it all falls apart. I always say you want to be the property professional in your area. So make sure that you do these due diligence things before. And one of the great ways, a free tool I'm going to share with you right here, right now, and you'll be surprised by this, I tell you, not a lot, is social media. Just go onto social media, put the name of the business in the company, and people can leave reviews. They've normally got business pages. You can normally see how they've been running, what they've been doing. You can normally reach out and start talking to people through messages, DMs, and things like that as well. So make sure that you make the most of them. It doesn't have to be taxing. It doesn't have to be time consuming. You can just get yourself out there and start connecting with people. Start connecting with trades in the areas as well. Now, they are a funny bunch, tradespeople, I have to say. They normally won't want to know unless you've got a specific job for them that they can help you with. But it's sometimes great just to touch base with certain people to say that I'm a property investor in the area. Listen, I haven't got anything for you right here, right now, but I would be interested if I did. Best ways to contact you, sort of price points, because that's what we're looking at. We're looking at building up a little black book of people in the area to be able to use. So back to the original question right here, right now. Is it still a good time to be considering buying rental properties? I say yes. You know, they say the best time to buy property was 20 years ago. And they were right. When's the next best time? Right here, right now. Just get stuck in. Make sure that the numbers stack. Make sure that there's good rental demand in the area. Make sure that it's in a decent area with capital growth that you can potentially sell it in the future if need be. But go with the long game. Go to hold property for the long term. Make it a legacy piece if you can. Or whatever suits you. But yes, now is a great time to be buying. Why? Because there's uncertainty. The last few years, the market's been flying up. It's been going through. It's been an absolute nightmare, actually, for us property investors. Why? Because everybody's been bidding silly bids. They've been putting in silly offers. So it's been very, very difficult. It's not been impossible. There's still been some lovely, lovely deals out there. But it has been tricky, tricky. And I love it when it's tricky. But right now, it is a buyer's market. Okay, it's been a seller's market for so, so long. What do I mean by a seller's market? Well, people have been able to put their properties on over the asking prices, or they've just been able to sit back and let different people outbid each other and sell their properties for a lot more. That's stopped. Interest rates, the way the market is at the moment, the way the economy is at the moment, that has stopped. Properties are now sat on the market. Properties are now being reduced more than I've seen in a long, long time. What does that mean? That means somebody's still very, very interested in selling their property, but they're happy to take a bit less. which means you can have a conversation with them. You can get a little bit more creative with them. As long as you know what you're doing, and you set yourself up for success, as we show you all the time. So make sure that you know what you're doing and make sure that you don't miss a golden opportunity. If you'd have said to me, 2007, Mark, why were you not buying properties? I would have said, because I didn't have the knowledge that I have now and I didn't know any better. I was listening to the press. We will look back at this era, at this time, and think to ourselves, if we are in a position to start property investing, we will think to ourselves, I wish I'd started then. I wish I'd have had the knowledge that I have now and started back then, because it was a golden time and I could have really built a portfolio of properties very, very quickly with legacy fees, got me out of my day job, whatever it is that you're looking to achieve. You don't have to do this on your own. Check out pinfurtherlearning.co.uk. We run webinars all the time. Every week there will be a webinar on. There will be something on that you can watch, that you can learn from, that you can ask questions on. Come and join us at the PIN Community Facebook group. Come and register there. I say register, just join us at the end of the day. Come and join the community. Over 20,000 property investors there that are more than happy to help and support you. And of course, check out your local property investor PIN meeting. Networking events, we run those, 50 of them, up and down the country. Well, worldwide, actually. We have them in Dubai, Netherlands, all over. But get onto your local PIN meeting. Go to pinfurtherlearning.co.uk. Find where your local meeting is. Register now. Use a voucher code, Mark, my name, M-A-R-K, 31, the number 31, all in one. And I'll treat you to your first PIN meeting if you've never been before. But get out there, start networking with people, start getting stuck in. If you've enjoyed this, please feel free to share it, like it, subscribe to it, leave us a review. Hey, if there's a specific thing that I've spoken about here and you'd like us to dive deeper into it in another episode, then let me know. As I say, put it in the comments or reach out to us on social media as well. I hope you've enjoyed this episode and I look forward to seeing your property success very soon. Take care and bye for now. Thank you for tuning in to the Property Investors Network podcast. Remember, investing in property is not just about numbers and profits, but also about building communities and creating a lasting impact. You can do this by checking out our website at pinfurtherlearning.co.uk. And of course, look to book onto your local property investors networking event. We are here to help and support you every step of the way, and I look forward to you joining me very soon. Bye for now.